Welcome. Welcome once again to Grace Baptist Ministries, that portion of the ministry we refer to as Sunday School. I'm battling a bit with a right eye that I got something in last night. Just pray that God will give me enough sight to do this message in a proper manner. Today we want to take a look at just three words from Romans 10:3 as far as our title is concerned, their own righteousness. This is the second week in a row where I've listened to the pastor's sermon and have been impressed by just a phrase or two coming from his message that the Lord put on my heart and caused me to look deeper into these words, their own righteousness. Now that title does come from Romans 10:3, which is speaking specifically of those from the nation of Israel during the days of the apostles following the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. With the subsequent ministry of the Apostle Paul, we saw the cutting off of the nation of Israel due to unbelief. But we also saw the kindness of God in bringing the rest of humanity, the Gentiles, into focus for salvation through Christ. And though Romans 10:3 speaks of the Israelite nation, what is stated is true of all humanity. Now listen to me as I read a literal translation of Romans 10:3. For being ignorant of the righteousness of the God and seeking to establish the own. That's the way it says literally. And of course, what is implied there is their own righteousness. They submitted not to the righteousness of the God. Again, reading with that implication included. For being ignorant of the righteousness of the God and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they submitted not to the righteousness of the God. Now, as I often do, almost every message, we want to break down that particular verse, take a closer look at what the Lord God is saying to us. First part of that verse again, for being ignorant of the righteousness of the God. Now, I know your Bibles say of God, the definite article is there, and I just like to include it. There's only one God, the God. There are no other gods. The God of the Bible is the God. Now these folks, being ignorant, simply means, as far as the meaning of that word, means not to know. But the implied meaning, in a context like the one we're reading it in, means to ignore, because such people are not inclined to know. They are ignoring it. They have no real interest in true righteousness. Brothers and sisters, I think about myself here. Brothers and sisters, if you and I are honest, we must admit that we were not inclined in the past to know God's righteousness until He birthed us from above and made us volunteers in the day of His power. He made us willing. Before we go any further in the message, I want to refresh your memories concerning the word righteousness. In the past, I've brought to your attention on a number of occasions the words translated righteousness righteous, justification, and justify as well, they all come from the same group of Greek words and can be used interchangeably, most often. Now, I would suggest this to you. When you see the words righteous and righteousness, think about the words justification and just, and you'll see that it fits quite well in almost every scripture. Now, those who ignore or ignorant of righteousness have no interest in justification, on God's terms especially, but have established their own justification. Christ confronted the Pharisees for doing that exact thing, as recorded in Luke 16:15, again a literal translation. And he said to them, "You are those," he says to these Pharisees, "you are those justifying themselves before the human beings. But the God knows the heart of you." Folks, that's a singularly thing said, though he said it to a group. It's each one. He knows each of our hearts, for that exalted among humanity, the things exalted among humanity, what are they, folks? An abomination before the God. What we see so often and lift it up is an abomination in the eyes of God. Christians, we need to be careful. It is an abomination to God for anyone to justify themselves. It's an abomination to the Lord God. A self-justification, which we often see in the Holy Scriptures. And you can pretty well wrap it up in Proverbs 14:12. I've been using that a lot recently, but it's absolutely true of the human race. There is a way right to a human being, but its end, the way of death. People would justify themselves by their own way. Now that verse is a clear description of mankind establishing a personal righteousness to justify themselves. That's what people are doing continually all day long in their lives without the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, as Christians, we need to be very, very careful not to establish a personal righteousness to justify ourselves. And I know that I am guilty of doing that from time to time. But thanks be to God for His kindness to me in making me to be aware of that. And that may even require some discipline on His part in my life. Now the word establish here, they went about to establish their own righteousness. That means to stand in. They establish a righteousness and they stand in that righteousness. These people are deceived to the point that they can justify themselves by standing in their own righteousness. Oh my goodness, folks. We used to do that continually in our lives without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the scripture states an absolute truth that utterly destroys that folly. And it is folly to do so. Isaiah 64:6. I read this often as well. But again, it is absolutely true. In and of ourselves, apart from the Lord God, we are all like an unclean thing, a polluted thing, a defiled thing. and all. You catch that? A-L-L. All our righteousnesses like filthy rags. And as a leaf, we all fade. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. God forbid that you be in a settled state in that way. Your righteousness, your righteousnesses, not only don't justify you, they don't find you innocent, but pronounce your guilt before God. Your righteousnesses don't find you not guilty, folks, but they find you guilty before God. You're not innocent. You are standing upon a defiled lie that does not justify but condemns. Goodness, I hope those words are ringing clear in your hearts and minds. Above all, what we are ultimately ignoring is Christ Himself. That's what we're ignoring when I'm using all of these terms. We are ignoring Christ Himself when we stand in our own righteousness, our own justification. A wonderful verse to look at that deals with that very problem is 1 Corinthians 1:30. Again, I read literally. However, of Him, of God, you are in Christ Jesus if you are a Christian today. You are united to Christ. You are in Christ Jesus, who has been made unto us wisdom from God. Listen to these things now. Wisdom from God. And you know what I have to say about wisdom, and we could preach for weeks on it. There's one verse in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, that really pretty well sums up wisdom for us as far as the wisdom of God is concerned. Oh, depth of riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable the judgments of Him and the ways of Him past finding out. That's the depth of the wisdom of God. And then 1 Corinthians 1:30 goes on. He has been made unto us wisdom from God. And then the next word, righteousness. And also sanctification and redemption. Now, I want us to put into practice what I said earlier about interchanging the translation of certain Greek words, such as righteousness and justification. Christ has been made unto us righteousness. We would do no harm to the Scripture to use justification for righteousness. Christ has been made unto God's elect their justification. Not only is He your righteousness imputed to you, but He is your justification. Christ Jesus and He alone. Christians may by the power of the Holy Spirit perform some righteous acts, as is seen in the fruit of the Spirit. And may I correct something I said last week? Brings that to mind right here, right now. A slip of the tongue, when I listen to the message, I always listen to the messages at least one time to be sure I didn't make any mistakes. Ooh, I made a mistake there. I spoke of the fruits, plural, of the Holy Spirit. And how many times have I said exactly the opposite? And I'm going to say it again. There's only one fruit of the Holy Spirit, but it's in 9 portions. Now that's the proper way to view the fruit of the Spirit. But getting back to that now, again, when you and I, as motivated by, as moved by the Spirit of God to exercise the fruit of the Holy Spirit, those are acts that we do perform, but those acts don't provide for you and I a not guilty verdict from God. They don't justify us. Only the perfect, sinless man, Jesus Christ, and His shed blood unto death provides justification, whereby God's elect are proclaimed righteous, and therefore found not guilty. They are justified. Christ and Christ alone is our justification. Those righteous acts that we may perform are evidence of the fact that Christ has justified us. Now, the law of God must be satisfied. The Ten Commandments must be satisfied. And Romans 7:12 gives us a full reason behind that requirement. Romans 7:12. So indeed, the law, holy, and the commandment, holy, and righteous, which means just, and good. Did you hear that? That's the law of God. Though it condemns because we can't keep it, it's holy. The commandments are holy and righteous. They're just. They're good. And why is that true? It is true because Jehovah Elohim, the triune God who authored that law, is holy and righteous. He's a just God. He's a good God. That law, folks, has got to be completed. And before we leave 1 Corinthians 1:30, I want to show you some more concerning Christ being made unto us sanctification and redemption. And I've said this to you before as well concerning our sanctification. Christ is not only our righteousness, our justification, but He is also our sanctification. The exact same Greek word in the King James Version is translated holiness. You can use those words interchangeably. I've never seen a point in the Scripture where I couldn't do that. Where I've seen the word sanctification, put the word holiness. Where you see the word holiness, put the word sanctification. The only holiness that gives you fellowship with God and relationship to God is Christ's holiness. Your personal holiness is a result of the indwelling Holy Spirit and is evidence of Christ's holiness in you. And finally, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ is made unto us redemption. Colossians 1:14 says this, in whom, in Christ, we have the redemption, the forgiveness of the sins. Folks, Christ being our redemption is our forgiveness. He has been made unto us forgiveness. All these things being true, and they are, we must not think that we can stand in our own righteousness and satisfy God's justice. These sins of ours, remember the law, these sins of ours must be paid for. They cannot be forgiven without God having his recompense. You see that word in the scripture? His retribution. Another word for recompense. Because he is a just God. A righteous God. Now the word recompense, the word retribution, they both have to do with a debt being paid. Deuteronomy 32:35 says this. God proclaims this in that scripture. Vengeance is mine and recompense. Recompense is his, folks. He's going to receive that due payment. For the sins of God's elect, the recompense, the retribution, was exacted upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The price to be paid to God. The hymn writer said it well. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Seeking to establish your own righteousness, your own justification, justifying yourself, seeking to stand in your own holiness, your own sanctification, and thinking God will forgive you because the good things you've done outweigh the bad. So many people think that. Even those people that profess to be Christians, many of them. My good outweighs my bad. Well, folks, let me tell you, that falls infinitely. No bounds, infinitely short of the redemption price God requires. You can't pay it in and of yourselves to be forgiven. The one true God is a righteous God, a just God, and his justice must be fully satisfied. This eternal God must have an eternal satisfaction in his recompense. Not one sin will go without recompense. Further, God is an eternal God, and therefore his retribution is eternal. Why must people be punished forever? Because God is eternal. He is forever. The only payment for those without Christ is eternal condemnation, resulting in eternal personal torment, coming from its source is the presence of Jesus Christ and the glory of his power, as we looked at last week, 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Our God, a fire consuming. That might have been 2 weeks ago. I don't know. But in one of the very recent messages. Our God, a consuming fire. If you're without Christ, if you're without the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never be able to escape him and his eternal condemnation of your very soul. But God, oh my goodness, that three-lettered word, but, a contrast, thanks be to God for it, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love of him with which he loved us. Even we being dead in trespasses, he made living with the Christ. By grace, you are saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Now what happens in that new life together with the Lord Jesus Christ that God gives us in regeneration? Ezekiel 36 may be the best example of what we talk about there. We learn from Ezekiel chapter 36 that new life came with a new heart. This new life in Christ comes with a new heart. Regeneration comes with a new heart. To replace the heart of stone we had when we were unrepentant sinners. We had a heart of stone. The Spirit of Christ, the source of that new life, convicted us. Convicted us of our sin. Breaking our hearts and our spirit to the point that we intensely detested ourselves for our iniquities and the abominations against God. Read Ezekiel chapter 36. God, by that self-same Holy Spirit, turned us away from that sin and unto our only hope, Jesus Christ. The guilt that overwhelmed us needed the ointment of the healing balm found only in Christ. I hope you can recall that when God initially saved you. You've probably experienced that multiple times in your life as far as feeling guilty about something. And the only thing that would cleanse that, the only thing that would heal that, was looking to Christ in faith and what He has done on the cross. That new life, that regeneration, also came with the virtue of faith. Thanks be to God. What do you do when you're so overcome by that guilt, when the Holy Spirit of God convicts you, convinces you of your sin? What in the world do you do? Well, thanks be to God, there was that gift of faith, that virtue of faith, enabling you, enabling God's elect to believe the gospel, the good news of your own personal salvation, the payment, the recompense for your sin was the death and the shed blood of the humanity of God the Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9 declares clearly, now having been justified by the blood of Him, the blood of Christ, we will be saved by Him, Christ, from the wrath. The guilt now passes away. As we have been found righteous, justified by Jesus Christ. Christ accomplished that justification at the cross, where he cried, it is finished. Our sins imputed to Him, His righteousness imputed to us. Our sins put on His account, His righteousness put on our account. Now, folks, finished. You need to look that word up in your Strong's. It means accomplished, completed, concluded. Folks, it was done with absolutely no other action necessary. I hope we will remember that because of this. There is a scripture, Romans 4:25, which one word makes us think, well, His resurrection must have occurred or we wouldn't be justified. That's incorrect. That's not right. It was either finished at the cross or it wasn't finished, folks. Now, which one are you going to believe? A translation or Christ's death on the cross and him saying before he gave up the spirit, it is finished. Now, here's what I'm talking about. The confirmation of that truth, that it was finished, that God was satisfied with Christ's sacrifice, is that God raised him from the dead. That's the confirmation. Romans 4:25. Your New King James Version has it correctly. The New American Standard has it correctly. And the Amplified Bible has it correctly translated. Now you listen and you think about this, folks. You measure this against what Christ said on the cross. It is finished. Romans 4:25 speaks of Christ who was delivered over because of the sins of us. Not for, because of the sins of us. And was raised because of the justification of us. Now, folks, that makes sense. I mean, that makes God's sense. S-E-N-S-E. And it agrees perfectly with Christ's statement on the cross, it is finished. Your justification happened at the cross. God was fully satisfied with that justification. Therefore, he raised Christ from the dead. Because of his sins, he was crucified. Because of our sins, he was crucified. And because of our justification, he was raised. Yeah. God was satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ's humanity. To the degree that his humanity was raised from the dead to live with his divinity forever. Indeed, this man, Jesus Christ, this human being, the God-man, oh my goodness, if you understand that, you're a whole lot better than I am. But that is the truth. And I do believe that truth. This man, this human being, the God-man, lives forever to intercede for the elect of God. Hebrews 7:25. And this is the truth that we glean from that, brothers and sisters in Christ. As long as Christ lives, we are justified. We're in good shape. There's one thing you can be sure of. No mere human being can ever establish their own righteousness and stand before God. In such so-called righteousness, listen to this. This is the picture you get. In your own righteousness, you are clothed in filthy, rotten, polluted rags, covering your decaying nakedness. Now that's a pretty good picture, isn't it? Taken from the scripture. I'm going to leave you with this now. Are you justified today? Are you justified today? Are you standing in your own righteousness? But if you are justified today, if so, you must be clothed in a robe of righteousness given to you by God, and not one you made for yourself. Isaiah the prophet, he said it perfectly. Isaiah 61:10. Greatly I will rejoice in Jehovah. And may I say Jehovah Jesus? I wouldn't be wrong. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. With the robe of righteousness, he has covered me. As a bridegroom acts as a priest, and as a bride adorns with ornaments. I close with a few words from a song that was written in the 1970s during the so-called Jesus Revolution, but what it said was true. One way to heaven, free and forgiven. Folks, we need to be clothed in Christ's righteousness.